This morning I'm turning to the Gospel of John chapter 12. I read to you verse 46. So from 44 to 46, sorry. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but he on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." This morning our thinking, our subject for reflection is Christ, the light of the world. As he tells us that in verse 46, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." And okay, yes, some can cry again, yes, Christ, our year, higher or by, we are saying. Our darkness here, we are saying higher. And we continue, we'll try to see a kind of light that Jesus Christ is. But then, these words are the words of Lord Jesus Christ, which he spoke about himself, when he said truth about himself, which is very true. And he said this in the midst when some of the Jews who had witnessed his miracles were still in unbelief about him. Because in the prophet, in the Old Testament, the Bible, the Paul gave a lot of revelation about the Messiah, and in his days, the things that he could do. And some of them were the wonderful works that the Messiah would come and do. And such things, they themselves testified, "We have never seen such things like this before." As sometimes they say, "We have never heard anybody speak like this before." And yet, in the midst of all this, they were in doubt whether he was the Messiah. In verse 37, they said, as I'm saying, they have that doubt about him still. And then some were contemplating, is this the Messiah? Or are we to look for another? The Ekan said, in some way, Ekan said, your verse, the Ekan said, I should be brown coming. If we say, what kind of Old Testament prophetic books you know? They say, maybe in the Kafa, Messiah was on bar, obey a new man, be quite see that. I trust on me, a Jankanwa, Yakupo, Asuman, and so, why, yes, I know many, as now for me, Bree, Jew for no, Israel for us, I'm the normal one, Luke Ronwa, Engine, Envy, nothing of a kind. So, if you look at the verse 44, says Jesus cried and said, he has to cry and shout to let them to hear. Remember, there was one time also at one of their festivals, he said that he shouted that he is the living water, and that they should come, whoever thirsts, they should come to him in the midst of similar unbelief. And even among these miracles, the Bible, this chapter tells us, in the people were aware of the miracles of the raising of death of Lazarus. As verse 17 said, that the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And even the Pharisees could say, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye now how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And yes, the world has to go after the Messiah, because he's called the desire of nations, and he's the one that all who are weary and who are burdened with sin will have to run to, and all sorts of things the Messiah did. So they themselves could testify, all the world have gone after him, and yet they didn't want to go after him. Unbelief. So it's not that the Lord shouted to tell them about this. They can say, you say, or no, you'll be all yard and quiet, or jiffy, 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 They didn't want to go to him. So the Lord had to shout to declare such a case that all who were in unbelief, who have been crippled with unbelief, could hear him. And that, I mean, they should at least remind them of what they said that they were in at that time. And as we are told, some of the rulers also believed that he was a savior. They believed that he was a savior. And yet, for fear of being excommunicated from their synagogue and also losing their status, they couldn't come to him. They didn't want to show really trust in him. They couldn't want to give themselves to him. They didn't want to do that. Because they wanted to keep their status. They wanted to be known as the religious leaders of the time. So they were hindered to become sincere believers to him. So you see, sometimes in the Bible says some believe in Jesus Christ. But some of those beliefs were not genuine. And yet the Bible says some believed on him. And then sometimes along the line you tell us what they did, which shows that their belief on him was not genuine. And some of the leaders did in the same way at that time. And is it not the same thing with us today? Many have believed, many have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many have heard that God has sent his son into the world. Many have heard that we are sinners and that we can do nothing to save ourselves. And yet, how many of us move to him? How many of us believe to the saving of our souls? How many of us come to the Savior and trust in his salvation? Many, many, many are not willing to break away from their sins. Many are not willing to let go of whatever holds them so that they can come to Christ. So that though in their mind they accept that Christ has come to die, yet they don't want to believe it's the saving of their souls. They are still in darkness of sin. And such people, normally, whatever faith they have in Jesus Christ, it's not right. So, in a way, we say they have invented their own Jesus. And what kind of invention they have invented? Such Jesus leave them in their sins to live sinful lives and enjoy the worldly applause and worldly pleasures. And yet they deceive themselves that they are Christians. They are people like that. You see, they've heard that Jesus Christ calls us to repent of sin, to let go of our love of sin, and to come to him and to help, let him save us and help us to overcome our sinfulness. Yes, we are okay that he has died for us, but we don't want to let go of our sin. And such is the case of some of these leaders, as I've told you. They have seen that whatever he has done is genuine, is true, he's the Messiah. But if we believe in him, they will say, oh, remember, some of them were told that, as was it Nicodemus, that he was told that he was trying to be defensive when they were trying to accuse Jesus Christ. And they said, are you also one of the disciples? And many of them didn't want to be seen as such. In our time also, they say, many want to go to church, at least to be seen as religious, to be seen as so, quote-unquote, Christians. But how many will want to really abandon their sin and to be seen that they are now willing to live for Christ and that all their former situations they want to break away from? No. Many people don't want to do that. Yet, they want to claim to be Christian. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, saves sinners out, as the Bible tells, out of darkness into his marvelous light. He saves sinners out of darkness into his marvelous light. Sincere believers in Christ have both true moral and spiritual light to guide them. They're able to have that quality of life that both in this life and in life to come, they're able to live. So that they will live here and they also live in the afterworld with happiness because they have been brought into the light of Christ. The love of sinful pleasures, motives, ambition, and unbeliefs are driven out of the mind of those who have really embraced the light of Christ. Because it tells us that he has delivered us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So whatever is insincerity, whatever anything is sin, unbelief, evil motives, ambitions, and love of sinful pleasure, whatever it is, those that have embraced the light of Christ, they have this marvelous light in them. And it guides them, it opens them to see the sinfulness of sin. It opens them, their mind to see how painful it is for Christ to die on the cross of Calvary for their every sin they have committed. And they are willing to give them up for him. The other kind of says, I'm going to say,
And so, some of you are, of course, I know my media. No more, you also a form of some Christopher. Then, because the February, if I say, I'm sorry, who in a friend said, yeah, yeah, Christopher Sumpo. And so, you're basically a giant born in the idea of Christopher, you know, I'm saying, I'm a if we say, yes, Christopher, by the Bible, she says, oh, dear, oh, dear, if you born this soon, and as I get this soon, at the abandoned kind, Nihai. Nihai, she said, Abraboa, Abraboa, and me, a stone pie, and look for any soon. I don't know what you're doing. And she said, Nipa, Empress or Bassa Haimua, Bonido, and the Adria, and Muntia, and then the Botaya, this year, Nusua, a Kutia, who for a fine, and the Angendi, the Opa Oba Kisova, the family of Kumi. If you win, yes, sir, I guess I'll probably go abroad. Because he saved them from darkness, his marvelous light, because that is just elsewhere that in John 8 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, both moral and spiritual life. You will be able to become morally upright because you have his righteousness, and spiritually also accepted before God. You know genuine holiness because he will direct you. You have a heart to receive it. So that is, what Christ does. So in thinking, that of our text is that, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. The first thought that comes, what we are going to make it our thought is that light reveals things in darkness. Light. General light reveals things in darkness or things that are obscured. When light is thrown on it, it is made clearer and we are able to see well. The Ekan said, a verse is not a fine, but it feels our pastor, a reality high, a pastor high, but we are. And now you need to know all 92 is so. When you have a high, maybe a light, you know, you have a light there. Maybe a light will be a soon journey for you. Maybe a light will be a idea, a swaka to be a soon. So we are going to think of Jesus Christ in this sense as the true revealer of both moral and spiritual things. The unknown, a bar, pepper, any, maybe you have a cup of water. On open it to me, actually, yeah, which they have first war, yeah, Indra, the Pisafian and Kupon, or New Pinesua. So he reveals moral and spiritual things, which moral and spiritual truths, and this is the only that is the absolute and the final. So the first thing we think of is that he reveals a clearer knowledge of who God is. One of the lights which Christ brought into the world is a clearer knowledge of who God is. In John 1:18, he says that, like he said, that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. No man has seen God at any time. Some people say, oh, the Old Testament prophet, like Moses, and they say, no, not God as God that is. They were shown figures that was represented, but not the real God as he was. So you see, no man has seen God at any time. So that whatever man said about God, though it may be true, it will still lack some clarity. Moses and all the prophets of old received revelations and they revealed about him. And they themselves were sometimes not able to even understand what they were speaking of. Though they were true about God, they couldn't really understand it well. So if you put all that the prophets of old received, though they were true about God, they were absolute truth. Yet, what Christ brought when he came, the earth can never be called to him. There a commission for by us at least, or Moses, there are commission for by Jomukava and Kupon Hunyan and Craig. And so the Yah Bumwa, Jesus will buy our bed, you know. So we will say that they reveal God in a limited sense. But Christ is the bright, we are told in Hebrews 1:1, Christ is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. He is the brightness of God's glory. And again in Colossians 2, we are told, in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. So that whatever is Christ, when he came, whatever he did, whatever he said, was about everything about God. If you want to know anything about God,
whatever Christ did or said, or whoever, whatever character he showed was God. His nature, character, power, and wisdom manifested what God, and it's not part of what God, but what God really is. Not his physical, body, but his nature, character as God, his power, wisdom. The Godhead dwells in body. That he was the real, manifestation of God in the flesh. We are told that God was manifested in the flesh. God came in the flesh to show who God is. He manifested clearly more about the Trinity of God. You know, in the Old Testament, there was the picture of Trinity. Even in Genesis, that's last time we look at, there was the idea of God speaking to himself as a single person, but as a plurality in him. But Christ's advent revealed the Trinity and unity in God the more clearest. God as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, each one doing their work, and yet the same God. He made it so clearer. You know that the unbelief of the Jews mostly bordered on the deity of Christ. When he said, Israel for a Jew for some years to go back, do not know engine angel. And I perceive for almost angel in the age that said, Christ or see or any uncle for an anomaly. So, or no, they can even tell him, say, we know your mother, you know your father. Why you say that you were living before Abraham was born? John chapter 8. Then also they will tell him, he's blaspheming. He's claiming to be, he's blaspheming. So you see, it was about his deity. They couldn't take it that God should come into the flesh. And yet, in the prophets of old, it was said that the Messiah will come in the flesh. The Messiah will come. And yet, that's where their unbelief was. But his nature, the words, and the words of Christ proved him to be God, whom they refused to believe. So you see, unbelief, whatever it is, even if the evidence are set forth, the person will not believe. It's a great evil in the heart of every sinner. And Jendi, unbelief is a great sin. So he manifested the Trinity of God clearly, and yet even they refuse it. He also manifested the power of God over life, providence, nature, need, Satan, sin, salvation by his miracles. He rose the dead. From Lazarus, he rose from the grave. He could calm the sea. He could command the devils to come out of those that have the devils who plead before him. No one has ever, the devil has ever pleaded before anyone. Before Christ, they asked him, are you coming to destroy before our time? Only God, that the devil is afraid of, not any human being. He could say, your sins have been forgiven you. Who had the authority? Not that in the name of God. He said that you are forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven you. He showed that he could forgive sin. Who can forgive sin? Only God can do that. And all the miracles he did, feeding over 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. So you see that in that he manifested that he has power over anything. He could tell Pilate that you have no power against me if it was not given to you. So that if God is willing to work, nobody can stand before him to act or to withhold. He raises people up to accomplish his purpose. And just right did that. He said, you have nothing, you can do nothing to Pilate if it were not given you to be done. If it is not will that certain should be done. So you see, he manifested the power of God in such things. He also manifested God's moral perfection by fulfilling the full demand of the law. He showed that God's truths are not mere theories. That God himself, it shows God's character. That the law, the commandment he gave to the people of Israel, which they were not able to obey, was God's character, was who God was. It rather manifested his perfection. So that in Christ, we are told, he was sinless. He never sinned. He was undefiled. When he came into the flesh, he lived a perfect life. That is why he can go to the cross and die, and God will accept his sacrifice for us. So that each one of us, you and I, who are imperfect in ourselves, when we look at his sacrifice, look at his righteousness, and we put our faith in him, repenting of our sins, the Lord said he lifts us up and brings us to himself because we have now received from him that perfect righteousness. He could go to the cross because he fulfilled the full demand of the law so that he became a curse for us and that through him we might have the righteousness of God. That God through him will justify a sinner without a sinner himself
coming to fully obey the law, which he cannot. This is what Christ came to manifest to us, that the laws of God are not theories. That's just, it's something which was the perfection of God, which was God himself gave in his word. He also manifested the grace, love, mercy, and justice of the Father. Okay, let me go back to the tree a little. The American said, yes, you so.
Any mesma, a reassi cosso, any abode, any ignia, and I said, you may hear your any of someone, any bonnet, Niniano, or Bayano, or by chess, or tumors, I chess on your football. I am who calls out to me also. If we, as I also say, or sounds so bad, true, mesma, and who pong, Nisu, a year per se, Bonibia, and your football to me yet, a dear entity be a, you say, or Bayano. So he also manifested the grace, love, mercy, and justice of God when he came to the earth. Some of all these things in the Old Testament, they were manifested somehow, but some of them in obscurity, so that we were not able to fully grasp it. But when he came, he did it more clearly. So Christ, the Son of God, was sent by the Father to the world freely to save sinners. That God, it shows the kindness of God. Some people will say that, why are we born sinners? But God manifested in Christ that he has given us what? A savior to save us from sin. So that nobody has the excuse to say that, I'm born a sinner, I cannot do anything, so I will live in sin. No. He showed his kindness that though we have defiled ourselves, we are falling into sin, yet he was kind to us. And in this, he also manifested the desert in the matter that if we reject what he has offered us, we reject life. Osanso at the he said, what they do with Christum said, you didn't even know. Whoever reject Christ reject life. In verse 47 of our chapter, said that, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Christ came to save the world, to die for sin, so that whoever comes to him in repentance, he'll be saved. But at the same time, he also reminded unbelievers of God's justice against them. In the same chapter, verse 40, he said that he that rejected me, receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So that though he showed for the kindness and mercy of God, he also showed for that there's going to be a judgment, which all who reject him will fall guilty of, and that they have to be punished. So you see, Christ, some people will always talk about God's goodness and his mercy. God is so merciful that he will not send anybody to hell. God is so merciful that he will not, punish people forever. Is that what the Bible tells us? Yes, God is merciful enough to save anyone, but he's also just to punish every sin. So that if your sins are not forgiven you, if your sins are not taken away, what do you expect God to do to you? And yet this people say God is not so the justice of God is wickedness. That's what they think. No. God's mercy and justice are put together before us. And if we choose faith in Christ, we choose life. If we reject it, we reject life, and that's what is left for us. Nobody can accuse God. It is as simple as that. Also, I move to my second point here. Jesus is the light of the world as he revealed the true condition of the sinner and also the way of recovery. You know, if you read a lot of writings
of old and which are not Christian, you see people thinking about evil and how to curb it with many philosophies and with so many, and you see each one of them go and crashes down, and they are not able to find solution to how man can overcome an evil in him. But you know what Jesus Christ told us? He made it clear that in John 19, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, the issue of sin is because there's sin, there's darkness in our heart. There's moral darkness, spiritual darkness in our heart. It's not about, just some darkness and some light. No, there's total darkness in everyone who is an unbeliever. So that no one is good enough to please God. No one is good enough to please God. And Christ also said that whoever thinks that he is good enough to please God, he is blind. So that he told the Pharisees that you will not come to me and you think you are better, then you are blind. Because there is sin in you and you don't want to, because it's only me when you come that I can clear your sin, but you don't want to come to me. Then your sin remains with you, he tells them. So you see, he came to make it clear to the world that, you know, even there are other religions who try to also, speak about sin and other things. But without, speaking of them in the light of what Christ has come to tell us in his gospel, they always go crashing down. Whatever religion it is, if they don't take it as Christ, who is God's son, who came, and most of those religions, they will reject the deity of Christ. When they are talking of him, they will just, he's a savior, he's a prophet, but they will never take it that he was God who came in the flesh. No, they will not take it. And yet, whatever they teach about sin, come crashing down. Because Christ cannot be your savior if he's not God. It's God only who saves. In Isaiah, he said that, come unto me, all ye, the ends of the earth. I am the only savior. And be ye saved. It's God only who can save. Who can save people from their sin. So, all that people who say about sin and its recovery, if it is not according to the truth Christ said, it cannot lead anybody to recover from sin. And it cannot also show the true nature of what sin is. And even the source of sin. So it shows that it is the love of sin that makes people to continue in unbelief. The love of sin. As people sin and they love to sin more, then darkness overtakes them. Simple God said that man love darkness rather than light because there is evil. Love of sin. And all the other reasons we didn't tell you that the love of sin. They will tell you something else. So you see, people may give many excuses why they are not born again. Because of that. Whatever it is. But by the words of God, let us know that it's the love of sin. Whatever excuses people give why they are not really saved, how they cannot really believe in Christ, is the love of sin. Because they love some particular sin in their life. Each sinner knows the plague of his own heart. Every sinner, each one of us, we know what really disturbs us as sinners. Each one of us, we know them. But if someone is deceived not to see that it's a sin that's able to come to Christ, then it's a big problem. It will be a big, if he gives every excuse but not his own sinfulness and pleading before God to help him, that person, I'm not sure, as according to the Bible, he will be ever saved. Because the love of sin is the cause of unbelief. The sinner is in darkness, the gospel truth exposes sin. The gospel truth exposes sin. So the more we come to the truth of the gospel, in terms of the gospel, and we think of it concern our state as sinners, the more our minds are clearer, and then we are able to come to Christ. The more we are able to repent properly, the more we are able to take Christ at his word. Because, look at this, how can a lover of sin delight in thinking about the death of Christ on the cross? I love my sin, and he died for sin. How can I come to him? I delight to continue my sin. Because, you know, it is when we think of what Christ has done on Calvary, that will have guilt about our sin, that will let us see how sinful we are. But we don't want to think of the gospel. We don't want to think of Christ. When we hear the gospel, we just hear it and brush it aside. How can we come? How can we own the blessings of Calvary? It is never possible. Yeah, here can I say, Christo, I bet we are saying, hi, send here, or better, may some of the boy in the suit at here,
So you see, if we reflect on the Christ's death for sinners, it will wound the conscience of every sinner. Say, you Christ only who owns the money, the money for him. Any bro prayer, you bring the whole money, money to the mosque. You bring who? And Kenya no, the money who my own who based on the money any man. But people don't think that. You see how many people prefer to think seriously about their food, dresses, money, entertainment, parties, and vacations. People are willing to think on this thing seriously, and really, if things didn't block them, they will, try to fight it. And while they are very busy for these things, they are not willing to think of their sins in the light of the gospel. They make us very brave, they won't adagere, and they trust if they are not busy, and they are not busy, they are not busy, they are not and they are not busy, and they are not busy, any particle, any of a question, any of them, to me, I do not know, and so. And we say no more to me, I do not want it. It's not a dream one. I'm looking for power. Oh, yes, Christian is a worker. So many are willfully not to bring their sins to mind. They will, when the sins come out, they will try to suppress it by maybe getting involved in something else so that the guilt somehow is mitigated. It will go down. So you see, people choose willfully not to think of their sins. Whoever thinks seriously about his or her sins, in the light of what Christ has said, in the light of what Christ has done for sinners, something will happen because that person will be moved. God will bring help to that person because that person wants to think about his real being. And whoever thinks of himself as it is, God will send help and there will be help. Yes, Christ wants us, what we should be mindful of. In Luke 17:32-33, he said, I remember Lot's wife, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. So my question to you, what are you thinking of? Enjoying better things of this life, or thinking of how you enjoy the future life with Christ? Which one is your thought? Are you consumed with the thought of this present life? What school you go, the food you eat? Yeah, it's good to think on those things, but are those things the most important thing for you? Then it's a serious matter. Then you miss eternal life because you will not have time for your own soul. Sin has defiled your soul. Christ tells us to remember the folly of Lot's wife. Why? Because while she was contemplating the losses of her loss in Sodom, she missed her deliverance. So it is when you are thinking of much about the troubles of this life and how you are going to overcome. Yes, we have to think of and overcome them as God give us, the opportunities. But that shouldn't be our ultimate, because this world is going to be destroyed like Sodom. While Lot and her wife were moving, Sodom was not yet destroyed. We also, while we are here today, the world is not destroyed, but there is opportunity to think of where we will go after that, where we will go when this life ends. But how many of us, we are consumed with the things of this world, and we think that all that matters is, as I said, food, dresses, money, entertainment, parties, vacation, whatever it is. Oh, friend, think of yourself, of Christ. Remember Lot's wife. She was contemplating her losses in Sodom. And many of us are thinking of our life and the troubles of this life more than the troubles of hell. Because if we should weigh the two, the troubles of hell, I mean, whoever weighs the two and think properly, I'm sure the troubles of life, he wouldn't even know, he'll try to solve them, but it shouldn't be a problem for him. If you read the John Bunyan Pilgrim Program, you see his trouble. His trouble was not the case of him. He had a family, and his trouble was that he reached the celestial city. And his trouble was that the sin, the bag on his back would be removed for him, and he would be able to be lightweight and to be traveled the celestial city. And that's a picture. I see my sinfulness, and heaven is set before me. Christ has died for sin. He can remove my sin. And yet, you know, along the line, the people he met, the pliable and obstinate, and the worldly wise men, these are the pictures of how people don't care much about eternity. They care about this present life and its troubles and how to solve them. And as we know, this world, our troubles will never be solved, finished. We'll never finish solving our trouble to the day of our death. Those who have died, if you should go and open their minds, you will see the plans they have. All the beautiful plans they have, and yet they have been buried with it. It is dead forever. It is gone. But their soul and the sinfulness of their life stands against them before God. No more with Tayo. If we ask him, no more so far activity, go away, you might go on over, sorry, go out. Now, Okawari, go on, no, go ahead, but go on, no, too quiet, go on, or yeah, Juma, no, we have to go in the city for the question. And so, I tell you, I bar, you know, ever bow. The bone, yeah, no, just that is what is going to be held before that person. And if the person had forgiveness for them, or if the person didn't have forgiveness for them, all our troubles when we die, it is finished. We will not come back again. And whatever, whether we were successful or not, it doesn't matter. What matters, as Christ said, think ye first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is what God is going to judge us. So you see, people think of this present life and they are not able to move forward concerning their spiritual things. So Christ tells, remember Lot's wife, as I said, she was contemplating a loss, so she missed deliverance. Jesus Christ is still the way, the truth, and the life. His death opens the door to heaven. As elsewhere, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he will find abundance. By me, if anyone enters in, you have access to heaven. Faith in the death of Christ, his work for us, give access to the Holy of Holies, which Aaron and his priests couldn't enter physically. But we will, as Christ has. So why will anyone despise his death for us, for his sins? Why will anyone love his sins and despise what Christ has done for us? My question to you again, are you thinking of having much of this world and at the same time having eternal life? It will never happen. For Christ told us in Matthew 6 that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot, think of two masters in this world and also eternal. And so now, you it's like in 3 years, I forgot it now. But like, if you are not focused on one thing, if you are focused on two things, when it comes to spiritual things, you miss the right one. But God wants full attention. He wants our heart. In the altar, say like, give me thy heart. Give me that heart. He doesn't want a divided heart for him. Yes, live in the world. God blesses the world. Those who never pray, they also enjoy abundance of the earth. Go to countries where there's no gospel. Go to Islamic lands where they don't know Christ. They don't care about Christ. They are rich. They are better. So if you think that coming, those things will give you, will help you, no. What we need is real spiritual life, connection with God, and not be concentrated much on the world. Things of the world is good. As we know, we have to take care of ourselves and do as we live in it. But that shouldn't be our goal for this life.
So the third thing that Jesus reveals that Jesus is the light of the world as reveals the nature and basis of true holiness. The nature and basis of true holiness. He revealed that holiness begins with a new birth. Yes, Christos also that we be the true members of conquer yet. Conquer yet, I shall say, and run if you are hopeful. And many people make mistakes on this. People think that I can be holy when I read something in the Bible, don't do this, don't do that, and I'm obeying it. Then God is true. No, that's not holiness. Remember, Nicodemus, he was a religious figure. He knew the law, and he asked Paul, saying, you might have lived according to the precepts of the law by the understanding, to obey all the ceremonial laws, do all the alms and everything. But look at what Christ told him. Very, very, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This was a religious man, not to somebody who was an atheist. Somebody who has been brought up as a Jew and has lived as a Pharisee. So, Jesus Christ was just saying that the new relationship with God begins with having a spirit indwelling in you. Having a spirit indwelling in you. Faith, by faith in the gospel of Christ, God, forgives sinners who repent, who come to, and he imparts into their natures new life, new hearts, new minds. He renews their minds, he grants the presence of his spirit, he comes to indwell them. There's a verse in Job, but sometimes I am very much, I just think on it in Job 23. And the summary that verse 17:20 is that God looks on the earth and will is willing to deliver anyone who will say that I have sinned and that you want to repent, and God gives that person life. I'll read it. Let me read it to you quickly. I think I'll get Job 33, verse 27. He says that, talking about God, he looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. And that means, God is in this business, always looking at repentant sinners, always looking at he knows that the world, people are full of sin. Who is really thinking of a sin? Who is really willing to be delivered out of his sin, and he sent forgiveness down. So you see, God is never willing to receive us to himself. But you know, it is sad that many assume to have this relationship with God, and yet they are empty of the new nature. They don't have any marks of this new nature, but not Jesus Christ. But you know, our time also has been filled with people who have strange and false spiritual experiences, and it has caused many to think that that is salvation. Their spiritual experiences are not scriptural, and yet they claim that they are saved. It's strange, yeah? And it's sad in our time. Many claim to have spiritual, gifts and experience, and yet they are empty of spiritual fruits. They claim to have this and that, and they can speak in tongues, they can see revelations, they can maybe even so-called do miracles. And yet, they are empty of the fruit of the Spirit. There is no real conversion examples in them. Proud, boastful, and whatever it is. And yet they claim to have all the power from heaven. It's false. God will never give such things. The fruit is what he's looking for. Because if any is born again, such will live by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by our reading or hearing the scriptures. The word of God is scriptures, not some revelation about some false prophet somewhere. It's referring to the scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In such way, such person will increase the fruit of the Spirit. When we believe in Christ, when we repent and we are saved, God give us a spirit, and we grow in the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit will work in our hearts to show that he lives in us. And for us to grow depends on our trust in the Lord and his word as we daily trust him. And if somebody has a new nature, such will entirely depend on scripture, love, of faith, and practice. He will not depend on people's opinion for his life or for her life. He will look that the Bible is really teaching the things that he has to believe And but you know, we live in times that people just, when it comes to Christianity, people think of opinions. Somebody said, the prophet said, no. It's the scriptures. Because we are commanded to desire the sincere milk of the word, the scriptures, not what somebody has said, which you cannot verify from scripture. And also we see when we have the new nature, humility marks the conduct. Pride is taken away, boastfulness is taken away, and the ability to submit to whatever God brings to my life without complaining, without being bitter. You know, false spiritual experiences produce anxieties, discontent, pride, apathy, insincerity, unbelief, and anything that causes fear in anyone. False spiritual experience, those who claim to have those things, their life is filled with these things. But they will not have assurance of the Spirit. The peace of Christ, which He left for believers, they will never have it. Christ said that, my peace I leave with you, not the peace of the world. How can you have it if you don't know Him? He gives peace, and peace in the midst of troubles, peace in the midst of all the difficulties of life, so that the Christian can be content in God. We'll be happy that God has allowed whatever His state has been, and we'll be cheerful to God and not complain against God, because the new birth makes us be aware that our lives are in the hands of God, and that He directs every affairs of our life, and that believer will continue to live in that. And it is part of holiness. It is part of genuine holiness. And this one will come to us when we have the new nature, when we have been brought into that state where our hearts and desires are changed, where worldliness and the material things have less effect on us, but things of Christ and His kingdom. So I come to my conclusion. But the thing is, Christ said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. You know, there's a promise in the last part of our text. He said that whosoever believeth on me shall not, it's not may not, it shall not, must not abide in darkness. And this Christ have showed that. You know, a true light, it is true about that every possess, anyone who has light, let's say there's a light out, the one who has a torchlight, who switches on, will definitely have light to go about to do his things. If you don't have that light, you cannot. Maybe unless you borrow something for the person. So that the possessor of light in the dark cannot be in darkness. You definitely, around him, you approach, you see the light around him. So true believer in Christ should not live in darkness or sin, unbelief, error, or sadness, and anxieties for material things. Yeah. A true genuine believer in Christ will never be troubled by the things of this world. Yes, sins will trouble him, but he will not live in sin. He will not live in habituality. He will not love to continue a life of sin. Everything he sees himself that against God, he confesses and really cries after God to change him, really help him to overcome them. And he will always believe everything God has said. He will not say, well, God has said, but he will not give excuses for not doing what God has said. He will really, well, if he's not able to, he will pray for grace. He will cry for grace. He will not say, well, yeah, God has said so, but this is not. No genuine believer will do that. So you see, Christ has said that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in that of sin, unbelief, error, darkness. All the sorrows of the world will come, but then the Christian has to be because he has God directing to his Father. Prayer will be a delight, and prayer brings blessings down to the believer, where the unbeliever cannot have. So you see, Christ, it says it right, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. But Christ, who is life, is with the person. Christ, who sends comfort of life, is with the person. His life, in Colossians, we are told that the believer's life is hid in God, in Christ, in God, in heaven. So that whatever pertains to my life here, he watches over me, he's concerned with whatever happens to me here. So it comes down to the fact that how people think nowadays in our time, charismatic, that, oh, you are saved, but, the devil is maybe, you have to come for deliverance. Total nonsense. My life is with Christ, and what deliverance do I need to do? I live a life of victory. Because Christ has triumphed over Satan and death. Death is all becomes a victory, not a fear. That is what Christ puts in the heart of those that he has seen. This genuine holiness, you see. My question to you before I end, do you have the light of Christ? Do you have that grace of life, that grace of life in Christ that opens your eyes to everything about God, about your sinfulness and its recovery, about the nature of true holiness. Do you have that life? Are you abiding that life? If you have Christ, you have it. But if you don't have Christ, you don't have. But there's always the way to come back. Come to this. It's repentance. Faith in Him. Faith in what He has done on Calvary. Christ. That's why we see Christ always call people. Say, come unto me. Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden. Ye that are burdened with sin. Come unto me. Because He has salvation enough for each one of us. It is us and our love of sin and unbelief that is deterring us. So, may we think of this. If we have not come to Him, let us come to Him now. Come to Him now. Go to Christ. Confess your sins before Him. Because He died for sin. He has purchased salvation enough for each one of us. He has enough righteousness for every individual that comes to Him. So why delay? May we always think of this and let us know that indeed Christ has come alive into the world. Let us come and trust in His life so that we will have life of life to live in this world, in the world to come. Let's pray.